from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But here he is, Jake Hutchinson on the River Islands guest line. What was the biggest surprise to you with roster cuts?
I think it was, you know, some people weren't as surprised as I was, but just putting Elijah Mitchell on season-ending IR, you know, listen, he's a guy that has dealt with so many injuries and, you know, you can't really rely on him. So from that perspective, I get it. But I thought at the end of last season, that was the best he looked since his rookie year. You know, I think he's probably lost a step since then and having Seth pop up in camp. But, you know, spending, you know, some time with him and you know, having him in camp and then putting him on IR at the last second, I was kind of surprised by that. I thought they'd keep him and, you know, they kept Patrick Taylor, I think, because I think what it comes down to is the 49ers feel like Jordan Mason is much more reliable at number two, and then Patrick Taylor is a guy that's been in the league for a minute and can do some special teams. And then they like Isaac Arendo, but still it's pretty ruthless. You know, Elijah Mitchell is going to be a free agent next year, being on IR all the season, assuming he just holds on to there and doesn't have an injury settlement. It's a pretty ruthless business.
Yeah, it's tough, especially when, you know, you have a guy who contributed so much and yet he's been passed over by Mason, and you got Arendo as a rookie and you want to use him on kick return at least. The other one, Hutch, that kind of was curious to me was the 7 wide receivers that they kept. Is Ronnie Bell just, I don't know, still going to rent week to week and not looking to buy property here in the Bay Area?
Yeah, I was surprised he made the roster. He's a guy that some days you watch him and you're like, no, he's got to be cut. And then other days you're really impressed with him. He's just super up and down. He doesn't have that elite athletic ability. He's not a super reliable catcher, but he's a good route runner. I think that's Ayuk, right? They are not fully sold that they're going to be able to have Ayuk ready for week one. Or even if he does, even if he were to start practicing this week, you know, like that's not a ton of time. That's not a ton of reps to get fully ramped up for the Jets. And the way this thing has gone, who knows if he's going to be ready this week or next week, or if they'll trade him. Like, no one knows how this thing's going to go. So I think that's a referendum on Ayuk. I feel like, you know, Ronnie Bell was definitely the last wide receiver in. I think they like what they have from Chris Conley. But yeah, if I'm Ronnie Bell, I'm not buying anything.
All right, Jake Hutchinson, our guy on the Niner beat here at 95.7 The Game, joining us on Willard and Dibbs. This is a little bit in-depth, but because everybody right now is really high on the rookies, I was a little surprised to see Jarrett Kingston. Late pick, but I was surprised to see him cut. What was your reaction there?
He was my biggest surprise. You know, I think besides Elijah Mitchell, like, Kingston being cut really surprised me. They don't have a great offensive line group, and he's a guy that I thought, listen, you know, I'm not going to pretend I watched him and saw, like, the greatest offensive lineman I've ever seen, but he looked capable. I don't think he allowed any pressures, and for them not to keep him and keep 7 wide receivers and keep 6 linebackers, and then, you know, they brought Ambry Thomas on. You know, he'll probably go on IR along with Feliciano, but I was surprised. I thought Kingston would probably make this roster from the outset, and yeah, I'm right there with you. I think they like their draft pick, and for him to be the one that's the odd man out kind of shocked me.
What about the defensive line, where you've had some injuries and you've got a couple of guys who are day-to-day and week-to-week, yet you kept 9 defensive linemen? Does it feel like this is going to be the final 9, or might there still be some movement with a late free agent and somebody else still getting cut?
Yeah, to me, I thought they were going to keep 8. You know, they had, you know, their top with Bosa, and then they had Leonard Floyd and the two defensive tackles. And then you have the group behind them. That's the backups. I think Yetur Gross-Matos and Leonard Floyd having those knee sprains, I think they thought, all right, let's keep an extra one. I honestly liked what I saw from Sam Ekwonu, number 91. He's the guy that made it on. That was sort of a surprise. I think he, you know, listen, it's a pretty bleak defensive line group. There's not a lot of depth. He was the only guy I really saw that was showing some sort of capability, both in the pass rush and in the run game, to earn a spot on this roster. That said, if I'm him, much like Ronnie Bell, I'm not betting on anything. I think that's a spot where, as the season goes, especially if Gross-Matos turns out to be out for a minute, I think that's a spot you could add a veteran defensive end, or I think they might still need a nose tackle. You know, I'm not really sold on any of the depth they have at defensive line. So I would say that situation is probably going to be fluid for, you know, most of the season until they add a veteran.
My bad. Hutch, I want you to pick a side here, because I've been saying all day that I think, and this is beyond Kingston not making the team, but the fact that Hubbard was cut and they only kept two tackles says to me the Niners very much still feel like Trent Williams is going to be in the building very soon. Does it not mean that, and I'm overthinking it, or am I onto something there?
What I would say about Chris Hubbard is he didn't show me much, and Brandon Parker showed less. I think that's a situation where if it's Jalen Moore day one, they bump up Hubbard from practice squad. Now, the more pressing question, Trent Williams, I think the Niners are playing with fire here, and Trent Williams is not a guy who messes around or just pretends that he's not going to do something. Trent Williams will just sit out. He will, if they don't pay him what he wants, Trent Williams will sit out and be content. And I think that he knows the Niners can't afford to do that. So until the Niners decide, okay, we're going to meet Trent Williams' asking price, they're going to have to look into going into the season with Jalen Moore. And that's not something you want to do going into like a primetime week one against the New York Jets defense that is going to be hungry.
Yeah, fool around and find out is kind of what Trent Williams is saying to the front office there. Two tight ends, Hutch, are they going to eventually add a third? They have to add a third, right? They can't go forward with just two.
Yeah, that also surprised me. I thought Eric Saubert was a lock for this roster. I think he's a really solid veteran blocking tight end and, you know, has decent hands. I will say right there, Jake Tongis was a guy that's not been on a lot of people's radar. He really, really played himself onto this roster, played super well. I've been impressed with him, and the fact that they cut five and kept him is proof of that. I think you're right. They've got to add a third at some point, whether it's Saubert, you know, or somebody else. You know, Donald Parham was cut. I don't know if that's what they're looking for, but I do think you can't really go into the season with just two tight ends. I think that's pretty reckless. I think that's something where, you know, they put John Feliciano on IR and Ambry Thomas. And if they have Ayuk, then they cut a wide receiver. So they've got two, three spots where they can open up a roster spot. But going in with just two is a little bit reckless.
Hutch, it's popular right now to say that the vibes are off. Are they?
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, they're not. I wouldn't say the vibes are extremely high. You know, there's been other seasons where you felt it. You know, like the whole thesis, like going into last year, the vibes felt pretty good. They've got all these weapons. You know, Purdy, you know, came in, and even though he was rehabbing, he proved, you know, that he was healthy enough to go. Christian McCaffrey had a full offseason. You know, you had these things going. And this offseason has been like, they've had a training camp where they've had not that many guys healthy. Ayuk and Trent Williams holding out, guys that are like, knowing Brock Purdy's contract is coming down the pike and know they have to get paid right now. And that's been looming over this whole thing. So to like pretend that none of that matters and that the vibes are just excellent is inaccurate. Like, they've been a little weird. You know, Ayuk's thing where he sometimes shows up on the sidelines and then he's gone for a few days and then he's back, and it's a little weird. So I don't know if that will end up mattering if they get deals done and they figure this all out. You know, and they come down the stretch and this team is still the best roster in football. But yeah, I'm with you. The vibes have definitely been a little bit off at some.
Are you getting any sense that with the Brandon Ayuk negotiation that there's any movement? Are we at a stalemate? How would you characterize it with 13 days to go until the opener?
I would characterize it as exhausting.
We feel the same way.
Man.
Yep.
Like, it's just like somebody cave. Because none of us have the energy to keep dealing with this thing of will they, won't they. Like, guys, just kiss, you know, just get over with it, you know, like just someone say, okay. But the CeeDee Lamb deal coming in, like, I think Ayuk's just going to be even more stubborn. The 49ers are going to say, you're not worth $34 million a year. And I get it from their side. And I get it from Ayuk's side of being like, listen, I'm worth whatever the market says I'm worth. So, this thing doesn't feel like, you know, it felt like a couple weeks ago there was movement, and then now it just feels stagnant and as exhausting as it was a few weeks ago. So I can't make any predictions with this thing. It's just the saga that refuses to end and has drained all of us of any joy for the offseason.
All right, there it is. He says, I can't make any predictions on this thing, so I'm going to follow up with this question. Hey, Hutch, what's your prediction? if I were to sit here today and be like, you know, the Jets game, like to Trent and Brandon both have helmets? Only one of them has helmets. Neither of them have helmets. What do you think?
I'd be shocked if they couldn't get at least one of them in uniform for that game. That would be a massive indictment of the way they've approached this thing, because it's irresponsible not to have two of your star players ready when they're both healthy and available. That's just like, choose one of them at least, you know, like you have to have that sort of responsibility to it. Which one is more likely? I'm not sure. I think Trent is clearly the more valuable player. I think if they were saying, okay, can we survive without Ayuk? I think they would say, okay, maybe we can. Maybe we can use Pearsall and Conley and work it out. And maybe they just force Ayuk to play on that fifth-year option, because that's something that they haven't been willing to go to, but it's right there. If they want to force him to play on that, they absolutely could. It's been something that's looming over this, and they haven't wanted to go in that direction for good reason. But that's there. I think, though, if you go in without Trent Williams and you want to bet on Brock Purdy having this great year, it's just reckless not to have the greatest left tackle in the game protecting him. I would be, if they don't have him ready for the Jets, that's a massive indictment of this front office. And I think it could go even until the week before. But I think you look at that Friday, you know, September 6th, that's like the one practice that they really have before the game. If he's not there by then, that's when you really start to sweat this thing.
Yeah, Hutch, I mean, I completely agree with you. You mentioned, though, on the wide receiver position, are they still fired up on Pearsall, or has the shoulder injury kind of like tempered their expectations?
Yeah, I'm trying to find a word that's like fired up but a little scared, you know? Like, because I think that's how they feel. Like, if he's healthy and he can play through this thing, and I think it's something where I looked up subluxation. It's not a dislocation, but it is like sort of similar. And it's something where if you let it heal and you rehab it, it can get better. I think that's something where they just said, no contact, keep him out of that. Let's just protect him as long as we can. Listen, when he's on the field, he looks like an NFL receiver who could become a very good NFL receiver. He can run routes. He's got size. He's really athletic. And so I think they are still excited about him, but at the same time, has not done it in an NFL game. So you can be excited and simultaneously like, all right, we're going to have to rip the Band-Aid off at this point and not know what it looks like underneath. And so I think that's how they feel. And I think once they get through even one game with him and he holds up, they'll feel a whole lot better. But I do think they're still excited about him, just maybe a little bit anxious.
Hutch, great stuff, man. We love having you. Thank you.
Thank you for having me on. Appreciate you guys.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.